petitions for one another. We, Heavenly Father, and those directly related to our assembly, the Tuttle family, Father, and Steve's family, and just Heavenly Father, those that are going through various battles right now. We have those that are family members, friends, and directly related in various ways, Heavenly Father, with this assembly through various channels, the Riccatelli family, Father, as he buries his father and takes care of his own personal physical battle. And just bring all these names, these individuals that are members of the body of Christ, to bring their names before you, Father. We trust you, Heavenly Father, we trust your love, that you will go through each request, that you will answer according to your sovereign plan, according to your compassion, according to your purpose, according to your love. And then, Father, we pray that you will give to each of us that simple faith of trusting you in our prayers. We follow the example of our Savior, thy will be done. And when we say that, Father, we mean it. And we just pray sometime that when it's rough to see what you're doing, that we just continue to trust you. Continue to trust you. And know, Father, that how you are answering the prayer, how you're dealing with it, is in accordance with your eternal plan at this particular time in history. And now, Heavenly Father, as we continue our study dealing with spiritual love, the most crucial of all teaching that we have seen in Scripture in interrelationships, husband and wife, parents and children, family, friends, romance, work, social life, business life, the life of commerce and trade, of buying and doing things that we do every day. Father, there is no greater need in our moment-by-moment life than to love one another as Christ has loved us. Pray, Father, tonight your Spirit will give us more insight as to what this love accomplishes in the immediate as well as in the eternal. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. By way of introduction tonight, please open the Scriptures to Galatians chapter 5, just for a moment. I want to bring you into remembrance of something that came up, and it just is a good little thing to be a reminder of something. So let's just start tonight with that. It sort of is a challenge in regard to our whole study. Verse 22 of chapter 5 of Galatians needs to be brought to mind again. And as I said, it should be brought to mind occasionally. I'm probably delinquent in not bringing this to mind a little more frequently than not. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, so your people will have the Holy Spirit, God, and in the third person, we understand and recognize him as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. He is God. And the fruit, as it's called here, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's in the singular. We dealt with why singular and all. So here's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the production of the Holy Spirit, and the things like this is what we're talking about. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the great question is, how do I have the Holy Spirit pour his work, his fruit, his production into me? How can I have his fruit inside of my own spirit, inside of my soul, inside of me? How can I have the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit, flowing in my own life. How do we do that? Just walking by faith. Our faith is our faith directed toward the Holy Spirit, allows the Holy Spirit to do His work, to do His work in us. Example, our faith directed toward the Son of God, Jesus Christ, allows His work to be given to us, and that is our salvation one. So we have a pattern. We have the pattern of establishing Scripture. We trust the Son to do His work in us. We trust the Spirit to do His work in us. What I want to look at are the combination of two things here. First of all, the first fruit of the Spirit mentioned here, which lays the groundwork of all of them, is love. And then it says joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And what's the next one? Faithfulness. Thank you. Faithfulness. You know, I'd really like to have spiritual love flowing through me, but this deal with my life, my wife, my husband, this person, I just can't. I would like to have it more often, and it just seems like I get going in the day, I get going at work, I get caught up with people, and it isn't going. What I'd like to do, if we word it this way, we generally don't word it this way, we don't use these type of terms, but I'd really just like to be faithful. I'd really like to be faithful in loving as Christ loved. I'd like that to be something that is consistent in my life. People, you can't even make that happen. That's why I wanted to start off this way tonight. You cannot even make being faithful happen in your life. And I know preachers tell you you can. And theologians tell you you can. You can't. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You cannot be faithful in the flesh. The only thing that you and I can do is to make a decision. At any given point, I want to walk by faith in the Spirit. Faithfulness is not what we're calling this faith in the Holy Spirit. When we're walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, He pours into us faithfulness. Faithfulness in regard to what? Faithfulness in regard to loving as Christ loved. Jesus Christ was constantly faithful to God's plan. Jesus Christ was constantly faithful in loving. No matter what the circumstances were, Christ was always faithful, dealing with the plan of God. But let's get specific here, not just a general in the plan of God. That's a nebulous concept. I want to make it personal. Jesus Christ was faithful in loving wherever it was needed and wherever the occasion occurred. He's on the run. They're trying to catch Him and kill Him. And what did He do? Stop. Talk about a blind person and get in sight. So, it's how can I be faithful and to the fruit of the Spirit, and how can I be faithful in loving as Christ loved? You can't. Not only can you not love this way, you can't even be faithful in it. The only thing you and I can do is constantly walk by faith, just trust in Him, and that He gives us faithfulness so that in all of these various things that happen in our life, marriage, romance, work, social life, just go through everything that you do in life, every area in your life, you're faithful. You're faithful in spiritual love here, 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 spiritual love here. Not just spiritual love where it satisfies you to be, but spiritual love in every area in your life, and you're dealing with every circumstance in your life. How can I be faithful to that? The fruit of the Spirit. Just like love is, faithfulness is. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So this is where we're going to get it. Okay, let's go back now. We're dealing with, coming right off of last week, and I don't want to spend time reviewing, but we're dealing with macrothumia, and we're dealing with love being long-suffering. Macrothumia. And so we have now moved in our taking some points in this area through point four. And all we've done here is we started off like with point one, spiritual love is resilient, enduring. And it is such a force that nothing is going to break it down. It is resilient, and we've spent some time on it. And point two, two forces pressing against each other. One force is love, the other is suffering, injury, disappointment, things that happen in life. We dealt with that. Point three, the importance of maintaining spiritual love in your life. It's your immune system. It protects your whole spiritual life. And then we finished off with point four. Now we're ready for point five in this dealing with the word macrothumia, or love is long-suffering. People, it's such a vital, vital thing. That's why we spend time in Hosea, that your love is long-suffering. Human love is not, but spiritual love is long-suffering. Now, point five, we are to love as Christ loved us. And one of the properties of the love of Christ is that his love was like that of God the Father. In other words, we call it spiritual love, and we've gone through all of this. The reason we call it spiritual love, you recall, is that there are several categories of love. There is what we will call divine love. Divine love is love that comes directly straight from a member of the Godhead. So it is God or divine love. There is human love. This comes from the human being, from Homo sapiens. So here is the human. And so there is a human love involved here. And then there is our category of spiritual love that comes from a new spiritual creation, therefore spiritual love. It comes only by the Holy Spirit, therefore spiritual love. It comes only when a person, when the new spiritual creature is walking by the Holy Spirit, are therefore spiritual love, the spiritual life. So, and it has an impact in the spiritual realm. So there are these categories of love. Now, when you and I are loving as Christ loved, Jesus Christ, so here we are, spiritual love is loving as Jesus Christ loved, as Jesus Christ loved as God the Father loved. And we're seeing this in our study in John 5, where I do whatever the Father does. If the Father tells me what he does, I do the same thing. So, point five, we are to love as Christ loved, and one of the properties of the love of Christ is that he loved just like or just as God the Father. The Father's love is long-suffering, and therefore the love of Jesus Christ is long-suffering. We saw this, and we won't turn there right now, but John 13, 1, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. It's long-suffering. It goes all the way to the end. How long is the suffering of the love of God? To the end. That's how long his love is. That's very reassuring. That's very powerful. Because as long as a person is alive, God's love toward them is long-suffering. Yeah, but I've done all these things, and I've been bad, and I've done this, and I've done that. His love is long-suffering. Those things are not going to tear or interfere and break down the love of God. You're not going to. Your sins are not greater than the love of God. His love is long-suffering. This is one of the qualities, characteristics of God's love that just tells us your sins are not greater. You're not going to break down the resilience of God's love. You're not going to. It's just too strong. You can be like a worker out at the airport and just jump up and down on this suitcase, and you can throw it up in the air, you can roll one of your trucks over it, everything, you're not going to break it down. It's just too resilient. And that's what this love is. And you can just try and try and try, but you're not going to break down this love. It is so long-suffering. So his own disciples, Jesus Christ's own disciples, came to him at the last Passover, arguing as to which one was the more spiritual. Each was filled with had filth on his own feet, and they're sitting there arguing over who is the more spiritual. And what that was doing was symbolizing the filth in their soul, but they should have known better. They should have known better. You walk into the Passover, you take your sandals off, your clean feet, and it's part of the whole deal with it's like not having leaven in the bread and fermentation in the wine, and there's just a lot of things, and they know better. But nobody would wash anybody else's feet, and they were too good even to wash their own. It was just a custom. When you come in, you'd wash your feet, and there was the pail of water right there by the door. But I'm too important. I'm too important person now, and boy, this is a big night, and I'm just going to come in and sit down and not even think about it, worry about it. And remember, they kind of laid, so your feet are right in somebody else's face. You think about how you're lying down to eat. I think we ought to reinstitute that and just lie down and eat more, have more fun. But they were all, and what did it symbolize? Symbolized really the filth of their own souls. And yet the love of Jesus Christ was what? It was long-suffering. He didn't get up and walk in here and start chewing them out about their dirty feet and their dirty souls. And you self-righteous, self-centered people, I'm getting ready to die for you. Don't you even care about that? I'm going to die. I mean, he could have given a great speech. It would have been a great speech. It would have been an accurate speech. I'm getting ready to die for you, and you're so self-centered, you're not even thinking about me. You're just thinking about yourself. And all this stuff, you're not serving me, and I'm going to die for you. No. Took off his robe, symbolizing taking off of deity, went over, and washed their feet. What love does. You know, and this is one of the tough things about love, spiritual love in a marriage. Well, I'm the authority, I'm the man, and I'm all this stuff, and you have to lay that mantle down sometimes. You have to wash your feet. Well, no, I'm the man. They do my, no. You've got to be able to do that. That's what love does. That's why I told you people, love will not always make you look good. In fact, often it doesn't make you look good. I'm sorry. Spiritual love is not going to make you look good. Spiritual love is going to make you look like the servant. And we don't like that. We want to be the one served. We all like to think we're the ones worthy of being served. And then those who do like to serve sometime are self-righteous about that, like Martha. It's sort of a losing battle for the flesh. And we have to see what's going on. But this love is long-suffering. And it's going to do all of these things. So Jesus Christ demonstrated for us the long-suffering of his love by washing their feet. And so in the upper room, his love was long-suffering. Mount of Olives, his love was long-suffering. People just asked his three best friends, three closest friends. I mean, man, we don't have very many. Even he had, you know, the 11 disciples, Judas is gone. But he takes his very close friends, and ones, you know, he felt a real camaraderie with, and his humanity. Takes them up to pray with him. Comes back down, what are they doing? They're sleeping. Now, I'm not going to judge him. I understand that. I'd probably be wanting to go to sleep. It's in the middle of the night now. We just had a nice meal, and I've been going at this thing all morning, getting it all ready, going and getting the mule and getting all of this stuff and the proper horse and preparing the room and getting everything. And it's a very intense day and a lot of stuff going on. And now it's dark and probably a little cool. And you go up there and you know, I have people falling asleep with preaching, reading about what they just prayed for an hour. I don't know how many people are awake after an hour. If we have 1 hour, straight 1 hour, we're going to pray for one solid hour. I wonder how many people after the hour will be awake. You know? And so he comes back down and he doesn't chew him out. Doesn't chew him out. And then, of course, the long-suffering of his love and all that was involved at the cross. So from the upper room to the Mount of Olives to the cross, perfect picture of the long-suffering of his love. So Jesus Christ loved the Jews in spite of their rejection. In spite of their hatred, in spite of their false accusations, the long-suffering of his love put him on the cross for them. For them. This is why it came. Jesus Christ loved the world in spite of its rejection and ridicule, in spite of the fact that it had part of the crucifixion of him. And the long-suffering of his love took our place. The world, being us Gentiles, took our place on the cross. So, he just, in his own, meaning believers, his love for us. So, it just is a powerful thing with the long suffering of his love. going back to faith every time we sin. How often can you do it? How often can you forgive somebody? 70 times 7 is just a picture. 7 times in one day of the same sin. People ask for long suffering of love because love forgives. How can I do that all day? How can love be faithful in me? Well, it's faithful as long as we're walking by faith and the Spirit pours in this love, because this love will do that. This is the kind of love that will forgive 70 times 7. That's the long suffering of this love. You're not going to break it down. You can't, you're just going to keep sinning and keep sinning and keep sinning. Things are going to break it down. You're not going to break down this love. You're not going to break this love down. It's resilient. And I'm talking about when it's inside of you. The other people aren't going to break it down. Point six. Spiritual love is of such magnitude that it creates an environment in your soul. The long suffering of love, as we're getting ready to find out, creates an environment in your soul, which creates an environment in your life. The long suffering. People haven't even gotten to the other 15 things. We are concentrating on just one. Just one aspect of this love. And this one aspect, you just think about it. The long suffering of love, how it creates an attitude in your soul, in your life, in your marriage, in your home, in the church, at work, wherever you go. It creates an environment. And let me give you an example of the type of environment it creates, the long suffering of love. Because love is long on suffering, you can keep hurting it and hurting it and hurting it. And what's going on in the soul is not hate, not anger, not resentment, not all of this stuff. Love creates an environment in your soul, one in the negative way, by keeping out the negatives. We're getting ready to start one of the most personal impacts of spiritual love. And what we're going to do, we're going to look. And if something is long-suffering, I want to look at some of the things with you that beat against it in your personal, everyday life. The type of things that causes spiritual love, that demands that spiritual love be long on suffering. And we're going to look at how all these things that come into your life beat against your life. And what's going on inside of you when your friends sin and your friends fail and da-da-da-da. We're going to look at a list. It's going to make it very personal. It's going to create an environment inside of you. These things are not going to be able to, pardon the expression, they're not going to bug you. You're going to suffer. Don't think that long suffering means no suffering. It means suffering. But it isn't going to interrupt your spiritual life, and it isn't going to interrupt your relationship with Him. Please remember that. You are hurting. You are hurting. Spiritual love is hurting. It's suffering. It's long suffering. But there are two different ways in which we suffer. Silly example. A pathos example. The mother, the child, the son, the daughter, but son just keeps on hurting, keep on hurting. But that old lady sits there crying and, you know, on the old picture shows in her rocking chair, and she's still alive. Yes, she's sitting there with tears flowing down her eyes. His bum, you know, all the stuff he's doing, but she still loves. And she's going to keep on loving. And if he would walk in that night and be an answer to her prayer and all this stuff, you know, make her the happiest thing in the world, her love's long suffering. Is it suffering? Yeah. But is that suffering causing her to have hate? No. Is that suffering causing her to have anger? No. Is that suffering causing her to have resentment? No. After she suffered so long, he walked in, get out of here, you bum, I've shed enough tears over you. No. She suffers, but she's going to suffer long. Let's put this in the realm of husband and wife. Let's put it in the realm of friends. Let's put it in the realm of church. Put it in the realm of work. You go to work. Another believer at work just keeps on doing the same thing. Even when you talk with them about it, they keep doing the same thing. What's going to happen when you have this in you? You're just going to go on. It's not going to cause you to leave the work. It's not going to cause you to leave the church. It's not going to cause you to leave the church. It's not going to cause you. No. It's suffering. And this is why, let me just come right off of that to the other person, the wife or the husband and the person involved in all this. This is why if you walk by faith in the Spirit, you won't want that to happen to the person. I don't want you to have to suffer. God, I'm sorry that I did it. I wish I had not put you to that kind of thing. Love isn't going to do that. But I want to be sure we understand the other side of it, too. Love isn't going to cause this kind of suffering when you're walking by faith in the Spirit. But we're dealing with what it does for your own soul when these people do this kind of thing. So this is what this love does. So love is of this nature that it creates this environment in your soul. Now, if this is what's going on in your soul, what's going on in your life, in around you? You know, I think we can all acknowledge the fact that sometimes we just can't hide our, you know, when we're mad, some people, there are a few people, you never know where they are. I don't know if they know, but let's say they do. But, you know, but there, and a lot of us, you know. And we say, well, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Oh, yeah, right. I could tell by that nothing, that nothing's really wrong. Boy, you're just telling the truth. There are lovers. Nothing. Nothing's wrong. Yeah, right. And the way you even answer the word, I don't even need to go in beyond that. And it creates an environment. If I have anger, it creates an environment. If I have bitterness, it creates an environment. If I have resentment, it creates an environment. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect things in my environment. Depending on the degree, depending on your personality, depending on that, it might even affect it to the point that there won't be any furniture broken. Otherwise, there wouldn't be. But now, spiritual love creates an environment. It creates an environment where the very person that's hurting you can come into that environment. This is powerful stuff, people. What we're studying is something so powerful. And why the world, promise keepers and Christianity and all the world wants to run to trust is totally beyond me. There is no power in trust between human beings. There is no strength in trust between human beings. In fact, that is weakness. The only reason trust is strength between you and God is because God's the only one trustworthy. God the Holy Spirit is trustworthy. He is worthy of our trust. God the Son is trustworthy. Worthy of our trust. If you build a relationship on trust and people, it's going to crack. It's going to break. It has no strength. Spiritual love that God gave us, to have a marriage, to have a relationship, to have unity between believers, that has strength. What's one of the strengths? Long-suffering. It's so strong. It's so resilient. It makes you so strong and so resilient that these things we're going to look at aren't going to interrupt what's going on in your soul, what's going on in your life, in your environment. You're going to be able to... Well, and what's going on inside of you? You're suffering. But love is long-suffering. It isn't going to break down. It's so resilient. And what I'm trying to say is, y'all understand what I'm trying to say when I'm saying it's suffering, but it doesn't break down. It's like if I beat against that suitcase out at the airport, yes, it's being beat on, but it's so resilient, it isn't gonna crack to that. And yes, if it was like a human being, it feels it. Feels that crashing. But it isn't gonna crack. It isn't gonna give in. It's resilient. That's spiritual love. And what I want to do with you is to take a look at some of the things that beat against it all the time. So this love creates an environment in your soul. It creates an environment in your life. It creates an environment. Get ready for this one now. It creates, we're still in the point six, it creates an environment that the world can see. It creates an environment. See, the first level, the world can't see. What spiritual love does in your soul, the world can't see. Nobody can tell. They cannot see the environment of spiritual love in your own soul. But what the world can see is what we're getting ready to study next. Here's the long suffering going on inside of my soul. Inside of your soul when you're walking by the Spirit. Now, the world can't see that, but when we get to it, they're going to see the kindness that is given out. And the only way you're going to be able to be kind to those that are beating against you is because inside is the long-suffering of love. This is something that the world's going to be able to see. That's why, people, and it's so important to be able to understand James properly. So important to understand James properly. What does James say? Your love is, I mean, your faith is dead. Now, why can he say that? Faith is on the inside of me. James cannot tell whether I'm walking by faith or not on the inside of my soul. That is private, personal, between myself and God. He cannot do that. So what was James doing? James was, as it were, standing in the corner here, looking at the assembly, and he saw the absence of love. So how does love come? Love comes by walking by faith in the Spirit. It is the manifestation of faith. It's the work of faith, Galatians chapter 5. He didn't see the love. He saw partiality. Partiality is not spiritual love. So he says, look, I always like to think, and I say this with tongue and teeth, it's not the Bible, but I like to think that James probably said, you're not walking by faith. And some smart aleck said, hey, you can't judge whether I'm walking by faith. Okay, you're right, I really can't. So I'll say this, your faith is dead. If you are walking by faith, it's dead. Why? Because it has no life. It has no life-giving. And so I can watch y'all, and y'all are doing nothing but showing partiality here. You're not walking by faith. There are things that love will and will not do. God cares how His love acts, people. He cares what it looks like. He's putting it in a simple term, He not only cares that I have a suit on, He cares that the suit looks good. He cares what it looks like. So He cares what spiritual love looks like. Angels are watching. Boy, it's so important we get to Revelation, what it's all about. But we're going to study some passages dealing with the arena. The arena. Oh, I just pray all the time that y'all will bear with me on the introduction. Because we're going to spend a little time on introduction. I try not to make it long, but we're going to study the arena. And we're going to just put the arena like a football field. And here's the arena. And this is in Job and in a couple other places. And angels are sitting over here. They are the loud spectators. And they're watching. They're all looking down in this arena. And you are in the arena now. It's your time in history to be in the arena. And I know you don't think very many people are looking. And probably not. Probably not. But angels are watching, every one of you. Not just God. Angels are learning. Angels are observing. And people, one of the most wonderful things that you can understand about faith is that when you and I offer God, we come before it. This is an altar. And the only thing we put on that altar is our faith. All eyes of the angels are now focused on God. Is that going to be enough? Is their faith going to be enough for you to save them? Their faith in your Son? Is their faith just trusting you going to be enough? Don't they have to do for you? Don't they have to perform? Because Satan's convinced them they have to work. And this is why in Ezekiel, boy, the angels are going to be really mad at Satan once they see all of this. They're going to be really disgusted with Satan once they realize, and they don't yet, once they realize it was never about doing. It was never about doing. It's just like when you see it and you have pastors that have been teaching you and people telling you it's work, 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 and then one day you begin to realize it's just faith. You look back and I've had a few people want to be angry at various pastors and think, be thankful your eyes are open and move on. And spiritual love will allow that. It enable you to do that. You won't be angry. But angels are watching, and they're watching you. And they're watching what you do in spiritual love. So I want you to understand that in point six here, that this is observable. This is observable. This environment creates something that the world, that the angels and man can see. This is what the invisible conflict observes about you. So if you'll understand what I'm talking about, look at John 13. Every now and then we need to turn to it so we don't lose track of where we are. Not that you would, but just to point out one word to you, a very important word. All right, look at John 13:34. Actually, 35. We're going to jump right to it. John 13:34. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another by this. Oh, forget the word men. Anthropos is not there, neither anthropos nor aner. The two words for man is not there. It says all. We'll know. They made a decision for us. It's not there. All will know that you are my disciples if you have this love for one another. So, they're all observing. Angels, man, and people in your own vicinity, they're all observing. And one of the worst things that happens is to us when we start seeing this is that we begin to realize when we don't, well, man, that is so bad because I know how I act when I'm not loving as Christ loves. And I know what my wife sees. I know what my husband sees. I know what my children see. I know what my friends see. I know what people at work see. And that's not really me. And man, I blew it. That's okay. You know how to get back in faith and move on. Let that serve as an encouragement to be sure that we continue more and more to be faithful to spiritual love. So, this is something that the invisible warfare sees, the two forces piercing against each other, pressing against each other. Your spiritual love is a force, and there's forces pressing against it, and suffering and injuries and things happening to it. So, and we're going to look at some of these forces that are going to move against us and hurt this love and bring into the problems of this love. So, a prophecy of spiritual love is that spiritual love is long-suffering. And this is just one of the things that we have about it, that it's going to be. Let me give you one more point, and then I'll just start to introduce where we're going to go next Tuesday evening. Because next Tuesday is as personal as we can get in dealing with one another and our lives and different things, people dealing with stress, anxieties, and all the things that are happening in our society. We have all kinds of medicines. We have all kinds of drugs. We have all kinds of herbs. We have all kinds of exercise programs. And there was one on TV. I just sat there and just smiled. This company's organization's put together these tapes, and boy, they're going to help, and they're just going to help, and they're not spiritual. They're going to help people do all this stuff. $400 for the set of tapes. $400 could have changed your whole life. Call now. Use your Visa or MasterCard, and it'll resolve all of that. Hey, for $400, it ought to, so I think I'll order that. Yeah. This drug, this herb, this deal, this that. I've got it. All these things. Gonna do it. People, you got it. Right there for free. It's inside of you. And that's what I want to look at. What we've got inside of you. Point 7, it is often much easier to apply objective principles than to apply spiritual love. It is often more preferable to walk by law than to apply spiritual love. It's more tempting and more readily able to walk by right and wrong. You were wrong, therefore da 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 da, and I can do this, and you're wrong, let me do this, and just deal with them under what we'll call law. We'll call Aristotle's principles of life, living a good life, as Aristotle would call it. So from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a lot of different ways we can always look at these things. It is much easier to apply those things in spiritual love because people, let's face it, sometimes we don't want to be long-suffering in love. I know there are times I don't. And that's where walking by faith becomes so important. God just give me the desire to desire to love as Christ loves. And it's a bona fide, wonderful prayer. Give me the desire to desire because, Father, I do not even desire. So give me the desire to desire to love as Christ loved, that my love will be long-suffering. And this is often what we have to do because it is so much easier to do that, to walk by the law. You can walk away easy by law. You can talk about how tough it is and all this stuff as you chop off somebody's head and, boy, this is really rough on us in society doing all this. It's easy. You're getting rid of them, boom, solving it, and the law says do it, and there's your right, and we're right by law, and da-da-da-da. It's tough walking by law. Especially with these things we're going to study that just keep pressing against you and keep pressing against your life. How much am I supposed to take of this? How much am I supposed to take? This is what we're going to look at. And that's why I said I don't think any other studies that we've done other than maybe some of the things in one another series that is going to be so pertinent to our lives as what we're getting ready to do. and it isn't going to be a lot of stuff. It isn't going to be, you know, I'm one of those people, if I looked at it from the cosmic, the world, even better than law to me, is a proper diet, the herbs and all that, and proper exercise. When you really want to do somebody in, you don't want to be you know, do the law, go work out in the gym for 4 or 5 hours, come home so exhausted you don't care what they do. You know, that's always nice. You got a lot of hoops you can walk through. Got a lot of things you can do. Or, you don't have to go to the gym 4 hours, you just walk by faith in the Spirit. And this love flows. This love will work. This love will produce. So, what we're going to do now is Tuesday evening, where we're going to start right off, I want to start right off, people, with understanding spiritual love from the standpoint of what comes against it. We're going to study, what we're going to do is, believe it or not, there is an opposition to love. There's an opposition to love. We might think love is just absolutely wonderful. Yeah, well, yeah, right, until you hear yourself saying, but I love you. How can you do that to me? I love you. There's an opposition to love, and there's an opposition to love inside of every one of us. Inside of every one of us is an opposition to love. And we're going to study it. And outside of us. And what I want to do is, we're going to start off in noting the opposition to love. And that's why, people, once we study opposition to love, that's why love's got to be long-suffering. Because there's an opposition. Just take a rebellious teenager, you offer love, and they just kick it in your face. You offer love, and they kick it in your face. Husbands do it, wives do it, children do it, friends do it, people do it. You offer love, and all you get is a kick in the face. Opposition to love. What happens when there's an opposition to love? The natural thing is to do what? Withdraw it. Why? So we can protect ourselves. I'm not leaving my love sticking out there so you can just keep beating on it. I'm not leaving my love out there so you can just keep hurting me and kicking me. I'm pulling it in. And if it happens enough times, I'm going to build a wall around me, and I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to love again. That's a good solution. That's a wonderful solution for life. Just, I'm never going to love again, and protect yourself. And live that way the rest of your life. That's fun. A life without love. Is there a better solution? Yeah. God's given it to us. But yeah, opposition to love hurts. And love that we're talking about is going to have to give you something to make it through that opposition to it. And it's the opposition to love that caused God to make his love, if you please, long-suffering. Because there's going to be an opposition to it. And you think if there's enough opposition, well, just withdraw it. Because there is, in the history of man, there is very, you might be surprised, but there's very little positiveness to love. And I suspect that's true even in romantic love, people. My knowledge of history and my knowledge of man and woman, there's very little even in that realm that might surprise us. It may, we might make various type of statements, but in the final analysis, there's a great opposition even to romantic love in life. So what's love going to do with all that opposition? Well, we're going to take a look at that next Tuesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions of what we covered tonight? Okay. Heavenly Father, it's so easy to understand righteousness. It's so easy to set up a standard. But Heavenly Father, you've told us in your scripture that love is beyond understanding. It's simply not going to. What you have given to us is a glimpse of some of the qualities of the characteristics of your love. What your love looks like in various circumstances. We're under no illusion that we're going to, as we study, come to a full understanding of love. We're not. We're getting a glimpse of your love. How you love us individually, and how we will love each other if we will walk by faith in your Spirit and allow him to pour this love in and through us. So we pray.